Welcome to another edition of What the Shuck, the podcast. I'm Muddy River Sports Editor Matt Shuckman. We are heading into the heart of spring sports, even though it feels like winter outside. And to break things down with me this week, the bald one, the Hall of Famer himself, Christopher Dewar.
More bald than Hall of Fame, I can assure you, Matt Shuckman. And by the way,
yes, sir.
Kudos on the phenomenal job on the girls' all-area basketball
team.
I thought it was not just a usually great read, but I thought from a standpoint of the wonderful artwork and everything that went with it, that was pretty cool. Great job, good sir.
Publisher's note, you called him bald. Do not make a G.I. Jane joke.
They'll be slapping.
Bring it on. Thank you. The boys all-area team will drop after we tape this. It's falling on Friday.
Perfect.
As we tape this on a Thursday. So, yeah. So, very similar in terms of what it'll look like.
Excellent.
So, kind of fun. Kind of fun to wrap it up. And, I mean, I know you're still putting your finishing touches on everything.
Kudos to you as well. We still have the girls to get done, which I said would be a week from Wednesday, but it looks like we're ahead of schedule. So I'm hoping Sunday, and as you well know, that is a sense of closure for you and I both because we've been living in it since the end of November or the beginning of November, actually, when you start thinking about college and thinking ahead to it.
Yeah.
And now it's over, and it's kind of nice to put things to bed. And as you said, move into spring.
Okay, before we move into spring.
Okay.
What is your lasting behind-the-scenes moment? And there's a lot of things we can talk about all that happened on the court or celebrations of games and all that. But there's certain things that happen throughout a season that only you and I get to see at times. Do you have one or two of those that stick out in your mind?
I do, and I will tell you that it was because I never – it was a throwaway question sitting in the press conference at the end of the Quincy Notre Dame girls state championship win because it had gotten on to social media, the talk about Eric Warren being the GOAT.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know, we'll have some fun with it. We'd gotten through all the important questions at the press conference. I just asked – and I make no bones about it. Erin Cornwell is one of my all-time favorites. Right. I asked her, and she gave a really nice response. And I just kind of turned, you know, to the rest of the table after they won and said, hey, girls, why is Eric Warren the GOAT to you as well? And then Blair F. Tink chimes in. And all of a sudden, it was tears, and it was a different energy. And I think people who had no idea the extent to which that chemistry and relationship exists away from basketball, apart from basketball, with Blair's mom dealing with a cancer diagnosis.
Right.
You know, and that I had tears in my eyes. It sends shivers down your spine. I mean, that was the most salient one of all.
I think, and I wonder how many people actually understood what was going on behind the scenes. There was a sign hanging in the pit all season, Team Julie. Julie F. Tink is who we're talking about with the cancer diagnosis. I don't know how many people actually understood that.
I certainly didn't. I didn't know until a week before state when one of my coworkers had said, hey, do you realize the extent? Because we had talked a little bit about Blair's struggles.
Right.
And I said, you know, she's a great girl. It's not like her to shoot the way she did. She said, well, she's dealing with a lot right now.
Right.
And then it was made real to me. And then when that happened, it was the whole thing, the weight and gravitas.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you and I get caught up in the basketball minutia of it all. And sometimes it doesn't become as human as it should be. Those moments that it does are what sport is all about.
I have two of those that no one else, people might have seen one of them. Nobody else saw the other. That speaks to the level of character of the kids involved. One goes to the night of the KHQA Superfan Shootout.
Okay.
The Robbins family from Liberty was there to watch earlier in the day, before Liberty played Monroe City. Grandma Millie Robbins shows up. Logan goes out and escorts her in by the arm, you know. Then after Liberty plays, as you put, you called it your game of the year, and I would agree, the double overtime game against Monroe City, they stick around to watch Q&D play. And it was time for Grandma to leave. And there goes Logan escorting her out to the parking lot. You know, I don't know how, I mean, I would hope that every kid would do that for their grandma. I don't know if every kid would. But to see it in such a public display of, I'm going to take care of grandma.
Absolutely.
Just hit me. It hit me right there in the heart.
Oh, and that's, I think that's Logan.
Yeah.
I think the beautiful part of that is there are so many good kids because the news concentrates on the news end of things, on the bad you hear from young people. And you and I are lucky enough every day to be reminded of how great kids are. What was your other one? Because now I'm fascinated.
Okay, the other one was the very first day of practice for basketball season.
Okay.
So Quincy High School always starts 5:30 a.m. on that Monday. And for 23 years, I've been there on that kickoff. Well, as you well know, that was 2 weeks before I had knee surgery.
That is correct, yes.
So here I am. I'm hobbling. Well, normally when I go into Blue Devil Gym to watch practice, I go in the same set of doors, and there's the stairs that lead up to the upper balcony is where I always sit. And the guys kind of know that. They come over and say hi and that kind of stuff. Well, that morning, everybody's backpacks, because they hadn't been in the locker room yet because they hadn't done cuts or anything like that. So the stairwell is just filled with backpacks, nowhere to sit. So I go to walk to another stairwell, and same thing. Okay. So I'm standing there, and Jeremiah Talton runs over. Mr. Shuckman, would you like a chair? Runs and gets me a chair. Now, there are 30-plus basketball players in that gym, milling around, shooting. One kid did that.
Yeah.
And it just reminds you of that it goes beyond the ability to play. The character of kids is strong.
Well, and it is in our best of kids, which I think people lose sight of sometimes. They just assume the best athletes, there's some other flaw to them because they're so good at athletics.
Right.
But they're really generally the best raised kids because that's what it takes. And
yeah.
We saw it with the Talton family time and again on both sides of the river. And
no
I got
question.
To sit down with Josiah earlier this week, who,
was a great interview. Yeah,
sometimes gets a little lost because, hey, you've got Jeremiah and you've got your twin brother Joshua and you've got CE, and then you've got Anaya making fun of all of you, which is what Anaya does better than anybody.
True.
And so I asked, and it wasn't a question I used, but I just asked, hey, who are you most like? And he said, you know, when it comes to the academic side, and Josiah is a 3.9, he's super competitive and a math genius. He said, you know, Joshua was like this, and CE was always good, but it came easy to CE. He said, Anaya and I just butt heads academically all the time, and we're still competing to this day. And it's like, that's what family's all about. It's about bringing out the best in each other, which I just thought was resonantly cool from this week as well.
Well, the invitations are going to go out soon for the Muddy River Showcase. I got a feeling that you're going to have a Talton on the Illinois side and a couple Taltons on the Missouri side with the chance to actually go head-to-head a little bit.
What do you think that competition is going to be like, Matt Shuckman?
I got a feeling it's going to be, here's the ball, everybody back out, let's go one-on-one and see who's the better one. I think it could be a lot. When I talked to Jeremiah about it, he got a good laugh out of it. And I think obviously, invitations have not gone out yet, but I think they know they're coming. And the idea of playing against each other and in a showcase event like that is really intriguing for the family.
I think people are excited about that again, too, because I started hearing some more buzz about, okay, you know, because the way things were the last couple of years, there wasn't a lot of talk about across the river like there usually is. Yeah. And I think now that we have a summit, which is that is what this is going to be. It's a summit.
June 18th, by the way, just to make sure everybody has the date correct. We've had to do some adjusting because of the IBCA All-Star Game. That's June 11th. So June 18th for the Muddy River Showcase at John Wood Community College's Student Activity Center.
And people love that. And that's, you know, that's just it. It's kind of the evaluation and see where everybody is. And for some people, it is the best possible farewell to a career, because not everybody's going on to play college. And that's the other thing I love about it is, hey, who wouldn't want one more time to see who they were against the very best of the best? So kudos to you guys. I can't wait to see that. And it has become back a part of the June tradition. So looking forward to that.
That's basketball season, and we had a phenomenal run with so many great teams, kept us incredibly busy. Did you take a little bit to decompress before you jumped wholeheartedly into spring sports?
I'm doing a little bit of that now. I took a day off yesterday because it was raining, and I took my wife down and we ran a bunch of errands that we've not had time to run since November.
Yeah,
and taking a little time today, and I'll take some time down the stretch. But I, you know, and look, I think we all know this in the business about each other. I've become a little bit more Matt Shuckman-like later in my career. I don't think it's any secret that you love baseball. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's any secret that you love the pace of the spring season because it allows you to tell a story a little differently.
Yes.
I was always football, football, football guy, and then basketball was fun, and spring was like, okay, whatever. I've gotten more into spring in a more Matt Schuckman type of way to appreciate it more. Some of it's being outside and getting some vitamin D and being mm-hmm. in the sun when the weather's good, not like it is now.
Right.
But some of it is understanding that, yeah, these are different pace stories, and they resonate differently, yes. and it's a different opportunity to tell them. So yes, I'm starting to enjoy spring sports a lot more later in my career, kind of the way I think you've always naturally enjoyed telling those stories.
And I've enjoyed the start of spring sports outside of the weather. And I don't mean just we're going to have rain every spring. We know that.
Right.
That's just part of the equation. The cold and the wind has just made it difficult to sit through an entire game so far.
I would agree with that. I'm also a little... And maybe, I don't know if you're struggling with this yet or not, but, you know, we're telling stories from different arenas and yeah. avenues, obviously, in the spring, because a lot more is going on than was with just wrestling and basketball.
Right.
And I'm looking at it this year, and I think it's really easy to tell good softball stories and baseball stories and soccer stories. The track stories, because we've been so good with so many people who have been in the ether for us for so long, mm-hmm. I'm waiting for somebody to rise up because, you know, you can only tell the Jettison Rose and the, right. the Miles Shepard and the... you know, the Delaney Strauss story so many times before Correct. You've already told them to death. So that's kind of where I'm at this point, is trying to figure out, okay, who are going to be the new track and field stories, which to me is kind of, hey, we haven't really even been able to get that unfurled because it still opens and indoor meets. So,
well, yeah, we're, you know, I'm sorry if it's 37 degrees out there right now.
Hamstring tearing weather.
Exactly. So we're not going to get into the depth and the teeth of track season until mid-April or deeper into April.
Right.
Until we finally get some decent enough weather for these kids to showcase what they can do.
Absolutely. But I think it is interesting and just trying to pick out some stories that are a little different track and field-wise, because I think we're being afforded some really good stories, like from softball right now. We got a couple of teams out there, Matt, that are hitting like the 27 Yankees right now, one of which will be in town on Friday to take on Quincy Notre Dame.
Well, that's an interesting matchup.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Macomb Q&D is going to be fun on Friday.
And that was not originally on the schedule. They added that to the schedule. So Friday at 4:30 at the backyard, you've got arguably the hottest – offensive team in the area in Macomb against arguably one of the best pitchers and defenses in the area in Aaron Cornwell and Q&D.
And neither of those pitchers have given up a run yet going right. into this game, yeah. which makes that even more fascinating to me is, okay, what is going to give here? And we, you know, we can concentrate on Macomb and we can concentrate on Quincy Notre Dame because those are two really good teams. Don't forget about Brown County sitting out here that's also putting out runs at a
right.
prodigious rate right now. And all of a sudden, again, you've got these teams that are making softball fun because every batter is a chance to put the ball in play hard, and there are a bunch of batters yeah. in both those lineups, all three of those lineups, really, that can hit the ball over the fence, which kind of changes the dynamics of things as well.
And it's not just softball where we're seeing some of those offensive outputs. The numbers put up so far by the Quincy Notre Dame baseball team are astronomical.
They are, and they've done it against really good competition, yes. which is the other thing that kind of makes you go, okay. And they've done it lower in the lineup than I think that yes. a lot of people thought they would. You know, last year the revelation for me with Q&D baseball was Harry Oden. You know, he mm-hmm. came along huge, and at the end yes. of the season, as good a hitter as there was. Now it's Schisler, Kinehart, who are in this incredible vibe right now, and you're going, that's the back end of the lineup.
Right.
I mean, you, it's one thing to be worried about Dalton Miller because you should be,
yeah,
you know,
no question.
Yeah. Cause you know, he's hitting balls over scoreboards
yeah.
and making it look easy, but you're going 6-9 and it's dangerous there too. Quincy Notre Dame's very, very scary. If the pitching holds up and yep. looks as good as we think it will be, they are a very scary proposition. Mm-hmm.
And so far their pitching's been good.
It has been to this point.
What else are you looking forward to in the spring? Is there anything that jumps out at you that, and I don't necessarily mean a team that can make a state title run, but is there a storyline to follow that has your interest?
I think there are a couple out there. I think there are a couple that are brewing and kind of simmering. We touched on Brown County. The softball's really good.
Yeah.
I think that baseball team has a chance to be pretty good by the statement they made early in the season. And I got a chance to sit down with Mason Henry, came in and did a job shadow. He's a wonderful kid, obviously, as you awesome. All know from yep. covering him during football.
Yes.
But there's a sense of energy and disappointment from, hey, We thought we were better football-wise, mm-hmm. and we kind of missed a window basketball-wise, and maybe this is now where we make the statement. And they came out of the gate strong, and they absolutely destroyed a good Camp Point Central team right out of the gate to kind of prove who they are. And they've got two outstanding pitchers, you know, so they're a team that sets up pretty well at the small school level to be interesting. I'm also really fascinated by Marion County baseball, and by okay. Cooper Stotts in particular, okay. who is signed with Quincy University,
right.
and you thought, okay, you know, Northeast Missouri kid, let's see what he's got. First outing against a good Knox County team, strikes out 14, and, you know, he's supposed to pitch, well, he was supposed to pitch today, that's obviously not happening,
right.
but I think he's supposed to pitch Friday against either La Plata or somebody pretty darn good.
Okay.
Cooper Stotts is a name to watch, because, again, if you have interest in the future of Quincy University baseball, that's a kid who's probably going to be part of the equation. It's probably going to take him a little ways to get there, obviously, because it's a big jump. But he's somebody that QU identified as somebody with a future. Yeah. And when they do that, they're generally pretty good about knowing what they're looking for.
Well, and they've had success with area kids. Obviously, I know a couple of the Quincy Notre Dame kids who have gone through that program have had success. But right now, coming out of their bullpen is Cruz Meyer,
right.
who they're very high on.
Who was a second-tier guy for a lot of people in high school who's made that jump.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of that going on. You see a lot of kids going to John Wood right now. John Wood's program seems to be in a really good spot. Lucas Luce just tears the cover off the baseball every single time he swings, it feels like.
Well, and they got the biggest steal, I think, in a long time because of COVID, because Tyler Bickers fell off of absolutely everybody's radar. And, you know, Ben Higgins is out there killing it at the D2 level right now, you know, who was a teammate. And I always thought Tyler Bickers was the better hitter.
Yeah.
And because everybody had their lineups filled out by COVID and couldn't get rid of kids and
right.
couldn't graduate kids, Bickers kind of accidentally fell to John Wood. You ask Adam Hightower about what he thinks about Tyler Bickers, you will get an earful about how talented that kid is.
Last weekend was a huge weekend on the local college baseball scene, with Quincy University taking 3 of 4 from Illinois Springfield, which fell from number 13 in the nation to number 24 after that series. I think it was a statement weekend for the Hawks, and if they can get their pitching lined up correctly as this season wears on, they could be really dangerous come postseason.
I had no idea what to make of that post Riley Martin, because I mean, we all know the value of an ace. He was an uber ace. Exactly that, you know, everything else that happened afterwards, you could almost count on that win.
Even on a bad outing, you were going to have a chance to win with him on the mound.
Here's the other thing that I love about that series with UIS. There is such a nasty energy between those two teams from a rivalry standpoint.
Yes.
It makes it fun just to see the back and forth. And I know it's kind of catty and whatever, but you just love the intensity of that rivalry. And if you're QU and you walk out sticking it to them for 3 games, you know that's a little extra spring in the step.
And there's a rivalry on the field, but off the field, the way the fans and parents interact from both sides, there's no love.
No, there's not.
There's just no love.
There's not. And I didn't realize the extent of that until last year, being there in Springfield,
mm-hmm.
watching Riley Martin pitch, and twice thinking Riley Martin was going into that dugout to go say specifically what he was saying on the mound to them from afar. And it is something special. And if you get a chance ever to take that series in, it's well worth it on a weekend in the city of Quincy or driving over to Springfield.
What has me intrigued by the QU baseball team is the way they're playing offensively. They're running a little more. They're being a little more aggressive on the base pass. They're bunting guys over a little more than they have in the past. That's not to say they didn't do it in the past. They're taking more advantage of it now instead of waiting for the big hit.
Aren't they kind of doing it as well right now? And I hate to make such an old baseball reference, but I'm an old guy. But without their Bill Madlock being Bill Madlock and Dason Crows, who's kind of struggled. Yeah. And that's the guy that was last year the connector.
Yeah.
Once he gets back to being Dason Crows, oh my goodness, that thing suddenly connects 1 through 9 in a way. I'm not sure anybody's going to be able to pitch around.
Matt Schizel and I had an interesting conversation this weekend after all was said and done, and Dason hit a huge home run
right
on Sunday. And we were talking about it, he goes, it's kind of funny. Here we are talking about a guy who's hitting over 300, and we're going, he's struggling.
Yeah, because he's not hitting 450 or whatever.
Because we're so used to what he's capable of doing that if he's not hitting at that level, it's like, oh, he's struggling. Well, he's not really struggling. He's just not fully connected right now.
He's not, and his bad swings don't look like Deason Crow's swings. His good swings still do, as you saw. And I think, you know this better than anybody. Baseball, more than anything, except maybe golf, is confidence and mindset.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, when you have issues with your swing, even if you're Deason Crow's level good, and you're suddenly 130 points below what you think your batting average should be, yeah, of course it's going to get in your head. It's self-perpetuating policy at that point.
I saw it over the weekend with Lance Logsdon. Yeah. In his head a little bit, struck out a couple times, got out of his head, and hit two laser beams to right field. And it's like, okay, there you go. And it's, it builds from there.
His swing is so, when it's fluid and it's good, it's so Will Clarkian, isn't it?
Yeah, really is.
I mean, and it was fun to watch in high school, and it's even more fun to watch now that he's bigger and stronger. And, the point of connection with his ability to see the ball to the bat is so good when he's on. He's worth the price of admission alone.
And my understanding is he is headed back to the MLB Draft League in hopes of, that's only, maybe 10 games there before the draft. And then hopefully get drafted.
See where that goes from there.
But I know he's on the radar of a lot of those teams. And had the draft been deeper last year than 20 rounds, he probably would have gone then.
Right.
So
there's a bright future there. And for those of you who have not yet seen him, here's one more chance for a local athlete who's really good right now for you to be able to say someday, we saw him win.
The other one to keep your eye on, Luke Napleton, could very well be one of the best catchers to ever come through this program.
Was it Luke who made the catch falling into the dugout last year?
No, that was Kaluzniak.
Okay. I could not remember, and it still haunts me because that's the only time I've ever turned off a highlight, mid-highlight, thinking a kid was not going to get to that ball, and it still haunts me to this day.
I got a few where the camera didn't cooperate. Isn't that
part of the fun?
It is, and then you don't think you get one. And then you go to back, and in my case, I go back and download the photos and go, that one's in focus. I had that over the weekend, the play at second base where Gino D'Alessio, they overruled the out call, and then Deason Crow hit the three-run homer two batters later. I didn't think I got it. I thought because the frames, 2, 3, 4, 5, were fuzzy. Frame one was picture perfect. And I'm like, ooh, yay.
You have that issue. I have the issue sometimes where the camera button sticks just a little too long and you upcut the highlight, which is always fun as well. So tales from behind the scenes of horror stories of local sports guys.
Have you invoked the 55-degree rule yet?
I have not, although there have been days that I've just thought. I mean, I sat out there Saturday morning for a scoreless soccer match, and God knows I love
I was there Mark with you.
Longo. Yeah, you were there. But I had no highlights to show for it. For 2 hours of an investment of my time, which, if you have a half-hour show to fill that night, Matt, as you well know, that's not really the good math.
You need highlights.
For. Yes, I need something to happen. So, yes. But soon, hopefully. And it's interesting, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, because it started picking up some traction from our good friend Jack Hull this weekend, who kind of jumped on it. And there's some talk about moving back the start of spring to, April 15th and going post-graduation. Do you have any thoughts on that? Does that work for you? Does that not work for you?
I think they start way too early because you got kids coming out of basketball season who have less than a week to get ready for their spring sports season because the start date's so early. So what if they – now you run into the issue with the graduation of a kid that graduates and goes, oh, I'm done with high school, and they have to be truly committed to the sport to finish it out strong. But I think most seniors who are involved in a spring sport of a team that could go into the postseason are going to stay committed.
Well, I'll point out that I cover Iowa, and in Iowa they do summer baseball and softball, and generally there's no attrition. So, I mean, there is a principle and a template for that working. Will it work here? Will somebody move off of their traditional spring season in Illinois? I have no idea. But I think there's merit to the thought, especially, track and field is the worst of it all because you are out there putting yourself at risk in colder temperatures where it's really hard to run.
It makes right now it's 37 degrees outside as we tape this on a late Thursday morning. There's a soccer game in Quincy tonight. It's going to be high 30s, thereabouts. Why go play?
In shorts.
Yeah.
In shorts.
Makes no sense to me.
It doesn't. And I get the, the past machismo of it all, but at some point we've got to be more sensible.
Yes. But I do like the fact that somebody's brought it up and started the conversation. Will it have any traction? Will it gain any legs? I don't know. But I think the more conversation it gets, the more chance it has of making an impact.
Well, and I think you know, we have a relationship, you and I both, with Sam Knox, and they seem to be reasonable at least hearing things out and trying different things at the IHSA. So maybe that's something that, as it gains more, you know, momentum, maybe that's something that gets better considered.
I know the IHSA gets a lot of flack for a lot of different things.
Absolutely.
But I do think that the investment from the executive committee over there is true and honest and genuine. Because I've had multiple conversations with Craig Anderson over the years. I truly think he's trying to do what's best for Illinois high school athletics.
And I think some of the past arrogance that people have accused the IHSA of has kind of dissipated over the years as well. Yes. I would say that they are much more friendly, you know, to media requests. I remember a couple of years ago, we were talking about, hey, you're putting volleyball super sectionals on the same day on Saturday afternoons as football playoff games.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, and it was just, and somebody finally took our, our advice and said, hey, you know, let's not be unfair to the girls, because football's probably going to get more coverage and you're going to have super sectionals that are going to get less coverage than they deserve.
There's so many things that you got to consider in all those and the overlapping. And that was a big one. And it wasn't just media coverage. It was fan bases, right, too. You got one, you know, if you got a team in the football playoffs and a team in the super section of volleyball and playing on the road at similar times or, you know, your fan base can't be there.
No, they can't. And that's an important part of the experience, as we well know, because you wouldn't be celebrating the fan experience at state right, if it wasn't. So, absolutely.
What were your thoughts on the way the basketball postseason was scheduled this year with all the boys stuff on the, you know, the same nights?
It was hard. And you know it, and I know it. And, you know, look, this is not the media crying. The media is trying to do the best job we humanly can. And we're all working in a world, for those of you who don't know, on the outside with, you know, this whole idea of doing more with less, and every media now with lesser staffs, and it was really hard. Not having a stagger between classes and not having, you know, an alternative way to cover things. So, you know, I hope that's, again, something that, you know, I think we're a part of the process. I'm not trying to, you know, toot our own horns here, but I think we're a part of the process for people. And I think, you know, you should consider, you know, some of this now with the changing state of media. I mean, you embody the changing state of media, Matt, you know, because, you know, there would have been a time nobody would have given you a pass because you weren't traditional media.
Very
now
true.
They realize the range and scope of what you do and the importance of what you do, and alternative media matters so much more now.
Well, I think what it's done is most, if you're a legitimate news source, whether it's news, sports, however you view, whether you're online, you know, or print or whatever, if you're a legitimate news source that proves that you're doing it the right way, the organizations will respect you. And I look at it from, I know myself as a member of the Associated Press Sports Editors. We're not an AP member, but we were voted into the association, to the organization, because we are a legitimate news source. And there's several out there. They're not the only ones, but the online, the .com world.
And that is going to become very, very quickly, not that I'm trying to write my own death warrant here, but no, that's going to become very quickly the normative for coverage in our area is going to be alternative media, because the world is changing and we don't know where it's going, but we can kind of see the forest for the trees, and things are evolving in a way that traditional media is dying. And so now they have Matt Schuckman in a way that sort of has, you know, has legitimized what it is to be outside the mainstream, because there really isn't going to be a mainstream for very much longer.
No, and people still want the news. People still Absolutely. Want the coverage. They still want to know what's going on.
As much as they complain about it, and as much as it's become politicized, yes, because, you know, look, as I tell people who want to be mad at the media all the time, yeah, you know, if you don't like what they do on CNN or Fox News or whatever, that's fine, but realize most of the people who work in local media live in your town, want to get the pothole on Main Street fixed,
yes,
want to tell you that your kid needs a jacket before they get on the bus, and want to show your kid doing good things in sports for the community. And that's the media as well. So before you start hating the media, realize the media is among you, and they're your neighbors too. So, you know, I think there's a paradigm shift that needs to take place within our society. I get your anger. I get political anger both ways.
Yeah.
But realize there's a lot of it that's apolitical out there within the media that gets blamed because of something CNN did last week, you know?
Yeah, we don't really compare to CNN.
We don't.
We just don't.
We don't make CNN salaries either.
No. We make salaries?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, dude, thank you for taking the time to catch up.
Always a pleasure.
I know it's been a crazy winter with a lot of fun. We, you know, covering all the teams that had success and made for a very eventful back end of the basketball season.
I think you and I had the discussion away from public ears an awful lot of times about how much fun we were having.
Yes. Yeah,
there were a lot of obstacles, but the quality of basketball, even at the mid-level, there were always interesting teams and interesting matchups. So that helped a ton.
And there were so many interesting conversations had and different styles of conversations. I know people get caught up on, you know, especially at the IHSA, at the state tournament, they have the post-game press conferences. I could care less, to be honest. Yeah, you get sound bites, and I know we got a great moment out of that with Blair Eftink and Eric Orne and the Q&D girls. But for the most part, they're pretty mundane.
They are.
For me, it's the other moments that take place. I spent time with Liberty at the hotel.
Yeah.
You know, and had some great conversations in there. I think Greg Allmix probably is mad at me still because we ended up talking so long, I don't know if he got a nap in that day, you know?
Well, but that's all the relationship-based stuff that makes what we do. People are not going to open up to you and I in a press conference the same way they open up when they're one-on-one
yeah,
with us.
Because exactly.
As you well know, if you sit down with Greg Allmix, that conversation is going to take about 16 turns and go places you never imagined. And then sometimes we find stories there.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen at a press conference because you're giving canned answers to get off the stage and go celebrate with your friends.
And the way Liberty emerged from Assembly Hall, or State Farm Center, excuse me. God, I'm old. Gosh, I'm old.
Hard to break that habit.
It is. But the way they came out of State Farm Center and came up the ramp, and there are all the parents waiting and cheering for them as they come out of the building. And it was cold outside that day. It was an incredible scene. The only thing that made me mad about it is I didn't get my phone out in time to videotape it. You know,
so I walked up the ramp accidentally the wrong direction coming out after the Quincy Notre Dame girls had won their state title.
Okay.
And I walked out the wrong ramp because it was closer to my car. And as I walked out, all the Q&D parents are there. And as I turned around and came out the door, I got a standing ovation. And I was 15 shades of red and they just started howling in on me. And I'm like, stop it, people. But it's just like, yeah, those are pretty cool moments when you see the parents so excited and finally getting to embrace their kid for the first time.
Yes.
Realizing, hey, you did something special that you've worked so hard for. And that doesn't just resonate in sports, Matt. That carries you the rest of your life when real life gets hard and on a random Thursday, real life rears up and punches you in the jaw with cancer or divorce or sickness. It's the toughness that you learn there that you can get through it that carries us all.
So thank you to the athletes, the coaches, the parents, the fans. This was fun. This
Amen,
was
brother.
A lot of fun.
Amen.
So thank you for letting us tag along.
It is a blessing.
You know, we get a front row seat to a lot of cool things, but only because of the people that are doing those things and that allow us that access and trust us to talk about it and tell their stories. So thank you for an incredible basketball season. And here's hoping to an incredible spring.
Fingers crossed, my man. We'll see you up the road.
Thanks for the time.
Always a pleasure.
This has been What the Shuck, the podcast. Brought to you by Muddy River Sports. Have a great day.
You need me to hit this?
Just push it.